personal information, contact information. We don't always get to meet you face to face, so this helps us connect with you if you will register you're here today. And we'll collect that at the end of the service. So we're glad you're with us. Brother Ray has this morning, and so I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer, and then Christy will take us through worship. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for you sharing your presence with us this morning. And we just pray that you speak to our hearts and bring us a clear understanding of your will for our lives. We thank you for being with us and gathering here. And we pray that everything done here will bring honor and glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and let's go to worship.
Wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide this sweet soul. I try with all my might, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a vagabond. Just when I ran out of road, I met a man I didn't know. He told me are burning like ashes in the wind. So long, my old friends, burden and bitterness. You can just keep moving. Now you ain't welcome here. From now on till I walk the streets of gold, changed my name, forever free. I'm
All right. Well, thank you so much for helping me out sing that song. That's a good one. This next one is so special to me because it makes you realize how special you are. When you look at the flowers and you look at the sparrow and you know that God will take care of them, what's he going to do for you? So much more. He will always provide for us, and we just thank you, Lord, for you always hearing from our hearts what we need from you.
Look at the flowers and all of their beauty. Don't have to wonder, you know why you're doing. So why would I worry at all? 'Cause you're faithful to supply. Everything I need, everything I need.
Oh.
And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Would you have a seat, please? Thank you so much. You know, God inhabits the praise of his people, and you could just kind of feel it this morning that the Lord is here. We're two or three gathered in his name. I'm Pastor Ray. I'm the associate pastor here at Hope on the Beach, and it's my honor and privilege to bring the Word of God to you this morning. You know, often when we meet somebody, the first question that we ask them is what? How are you doing? I'm not going to ask you that, okay? I got a better question. How's your soul doing this morning? Anybody ask you that? How's your soul doing? It's one part of us. You know, we're body and we're soul. And Matthew, Jesus says, do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. So what Jesus is saying is your soul is a very important part of you. Your soul is a very important part of you. And it's not that our body has a soul, but that our soul has a body. You know, in the book of Genesis, when God created mankind, it says that God, man had become a living soul, which means that a person is a soul, not just has a soul. We do not have souls, we are souls. We have bodies. And with that bit of an introduction, we're going to pay attention to our soul this morning, because the soul, as the body is made up of what you can see, what you can hear, what you can smell, what you can taste, what you can touch, the soul is made up of our emotion, our will, and most importantly, the soul is made up of our mind. Because I believe that the mind controls our emotions and our will. So this morning, we're going to look at the importance of our mind. And the word mind appears 95 times in the Word of God, which tells us that's a very important concept that God talks about. So, finish this sentence. The Lord Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and... He thought it was important too, didn't he? Discipleship requires a mind that's fully committed to Christ. And with that in mind, no pun intended, let's read our scripture for today. It's from the book of Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. The Bible tells us, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And we're going to take that apart in a minute. The passage begins with this assumption, if then you have been raised with Christ. And what the Apostle Paul is saying, he's saying that since this is true about you, that you've been raised with Christ, if you've been born again and you're a Christian, you've been raised with Christ. Since this is true about you, then you're not who you used to be. You've been born again. You're new. Things have changed. The past doesn't define you. Your identity is now tied to Jesus Christ. That's who you are. You're a Christian, little Christ. And Scripture tells us that who you are determines how you live. Is that true? Who you are determines how you live. You know, many Christians think that they live as nothing's changed. But everything's changed. Everything has changed when you're a follower and a believer in Jesus Christ. If you're a baptized believer, the Lord is calling you. He's saying, live who you are this morning. And that brings us to our outline number one. In Christ, you have been given a new mind. Listen to what Paul writes in Romans chapter 8. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. What Paul is saying in this passage is that there's a battle between your flesh and your spirit. Do you feel it sometimes, the battle between your flesh and your spirit? You know, there's an old story, and I've heard it told like three different ways, and you've probably heard this story, but I'm going to remind you of it. There was a grandpa talking to his grandson. And the grandpa told his grandson the old story about there were two wolves that were fighting. You've heard this. Inside every person, there are two wolves fighting. And one wolf is fear, anger, jealousy, and doubt. And the other wolf is peace, love, faith, and truth. and they're fighting inside of you. And the grandson says, which wolf wins? And the grandfather said, well, the one that you feed. Every day you're feeding your body or your soul. What are you feeding your soul? Which one is winning in your life, your flesh or your soul? And Paul, in this text that we just read, doesn't soften the words. He says that your fleshly mind is hostile to God. It's not neutral. It's not indifferent to God, or not just resisting God. It's hostile to God. But you, however, you're not in the realm of the flesh. That's you. You're on the realm of the Spirit, and that changes everything. That's where you live, in the realm of the Spirit. A disciple is someone who lives in the realm of the Spirit. I know you've heard this text before, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that he uses the word temple. Because if God is saying that the Holy Spirit dwells in you, he could have said your body is the home of the Holy Spirit, or your body is the building or the house or the residence of the Holy Spirit. But he says temple. And the reason he says temple is because the temple is, in the Old Testament, this place that was set apart for the reverence and worship of God. And if your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, you've been set apart. Your body is set apart. That's a holy space that God dwells. His Holy Spirit dwells within you. And you know it's true, because sometimes when you say something that is wrong and you know it's wrong, what do? You think to yourself, I shouldn't have said that. I just can't believe I said that. Or when you think that, and what's happening is you're grieving the Holy Spirit within you. The Holy Spirit goes, what did you just say? And I said, well, I just said it. That's that flesh and that spirit thing going on inside of you. But your body is a temple of the Holy. It's a sanctuary. Therefore, how we behave, think, and speak, what we let into our temple that enters into our mind becomes important. And that brings me to A in your outline. We are no longer ruled by the flesh, because you are not in the flesh. And what Paul is saying is not that you don't live in a body, because you do live in a body. And it doesn't mean that you'll never have sinful desires, because we do have sinful desires. It means that our identity is not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You see, before we became Christians, the world, the flesh, and the devil dictated to us what we were to do and think and say. But now that we are in Christ, sin is no longer your master. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Listen to the Holy Spirit. We have the power to obey God. We live in the world, but we don't have to live of the world. The flesh may still oppose us, and we may still have this fight, but the flesh is no longer the right to rule over you, because you've been transformed. And transformation is not imitation, it's participation. Let me explain this. Transformation is not imitation, it's participation. People have heroes. And they try to imitate their hero, buy the shirt, they'll buy the outfit. Remember, you were a kid at Halloween? I wanted to be Roy Rogers, so I had a little hat and two little guns. Do you remember the smell of the cap guns, guys? Yeah, the little roll that ran in there. I can smell that already. But you imitated your hero, But Jesus said, no, I don't want you to imitate me. I want you to participate with me. It's not what would Jesus do. It's joining Jesus in what he is doing. It's what he's calling us to do. And our participation is not going to be perfect, not hardly, when we participate with him. But through his Spirit walking with him, we can have a meaningful, purposeful, rewarding life with Jesus. Think about Jesus as your training partner, okay? Anybody ever have a training partner? You're working out with them. People who train for the Olympics, they act differently. They eat differently. They wake up differently. They do different things. Why? Because they got a goal in mind. Because they're pursuing shapes what they're doing. What they're pursuing shapes what they're doing. as an Olympic athlete. Think of yourself as that. You're a disciple of Jesus Christ. You're pursuing Him and His priorities. And once you do that, your life will align with what He's asking you to do, because He's your training partner. And when you're pursuing Jesus, like I said, it's not always easy. It's not going to be easy. But number two, our mind is, that's because our mind is a contested territory in your notes. It's contested. And Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians, "But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning thoughts, we'll be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ." Paul says, just as the serpent tricked Eve in the book of Genesis through deception, I'm concerned about you, Corinthians, that you're not deceived and tricked, drifting away from the pure devotion to Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, he knew what it meant to struggle with the flesh. Do you remember that scripture? I identify with this. He goes, you know, the good in Romans chapter 7, the good I would do, I don't do. And the bad I don't want to do, I do. I was frustrated. That's so frustrating. And he says, who will save me from this mess? And then he says, thanks be to God for Jesus. It's the battle of the mind. And your mind is a lot like your cell phone. Oh, what did they say? You know? And you get all kinds of stuff on your cell phone, you know, messages, notifications, pop-ups all the time. Good news is you don't have to answer the pop-ups, do you? You know, your mind works the same way. Things pop up. Things pop up. You know, and you'll think, you know, your mind will tell you, you need to do this, or you need to look at that, you need to go here, or tell them what you really think. That's what the pop-up will say. You know, and just because a notification pops up in your brain doesn't mean you have to answer it. You don't have to entertain every thought that enters your mind. Okay? The enemy fights you with thoughts as well as circumstances. And because he can plant a thought in your mind, then the thought becomes a behavior or a belief and then a behavior, and then it becomes a part of your life. And that's why we are to discern your thoughts. Sincere and pure devotion to Christ means faithfully loving and following Jesus with your heart, soul, and your mind. And there's a warning in our outline, and it's A in your notes. We have an enemy who can't take our salvation, but will gladly distort our thinking. You know, your salvation is secure in Christ, but the enemy wants to plant lies where God is speaking truth. The enemy wants to create fear where God is giving you peace. The enemy wants to drive you away from shame, and Christ gives you grace. The enemy wants to create confusion where Christ gives you wisdom. But we have a defense against the enemy, and that is listed. Paul wrote it in 2 Corinthians 10:5, where it reads, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ." That word, to take every thought captive, means this. Don't let your thoughts control you. Control them. And it's not you controlling them. It's God controlling them. You just don't ignore your thoughts. You replace them. You know, I just feel so far away from God. And Satan goes, yes, God is not near you. Then you take that thought captive. What did Jesus say? I'm with you always to the ends of the age. Where two or three gathered in my name, there I am. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Take that, Satan. You know, and I'll never make it. It'll never happen. What does the Bible say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Take that, Satan. You replace your negative thoughts with God's word. Take your thought captive. And that's why Scripture places the importance of renewing the mind, taking thoughts captive, testing the spirit, standing firm in God's word. And it's through God's word that, be in your notes, God renews our minds. That's where He renews our minds. Paul contrasts that of believers and unbelievers in Ephesians 4:17. I want to read this to you. Can you put that up on the screen? There it is. Okay. Paul writes this to the church in Ephesus. Now this I say and testify in the Lord. What is he saying? This is important, okay? Listen up. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greed, to practice every kind of impurity. But this is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have learned about him and were taught in him and the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life, and is corrupt through the deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God and the true righteousness and holiness. You know, and I gave this illustration this morning at Inlet Beach this morning, but I didn't even prepare for this one. I'd forgotten that I even gave the illustration. Inside all of us, there's this little, I'm going to call it a square. It's called your conscience. It's the Holy Spirit inside you. And it, when you do something bad, it spins. Like that. Do you ever say something and do this? Well, that's what happens. It hurts when you do something that you know you shouldn't do. And the Holy Spirit convicts you. All right? What did it say about the Gentiles? Well, they keep doing stuff like this. And what happens to the tips when they keep spinning? Tips wear off. And when the tips wear off, it spins faster. And it says they became calloused. They became calloused. And the only thing that can, in their conscience, become seared, the Bible says, the only thing that can fix that is repentance and forgiveness and restoration. In God's word, in Jesus. And in order to grow as the disciple, Paul says that you must be renewed in your spirit and your minds and put off your old self. You put it off. And that means rejecting your former way of life, your habits, your attitudes, the mindset of your past, the old self, what ruled you, that was destructive behaviors. You know, one of those hot air balloons that people ride in sometimes, which I'll never ride in, okay, just so you know. The only way it'll float is that if you drop the weight off of it, right? Not going to make any progress with all that weight. And we as Christians, sometimes we carry all this stuff. Our past guilt, drop that away. Our past habits, now drop that off. And some of the things we did in our past, leave it alone. Drop it off. Never going to rise in your Christian walk if you don't drop some of that stuff off. Put off your old self and then put on your new self. And when you do that, everything changes. It's like putting on a new pair of clothes. Believers are called to live their new identity. So how does this happen? Number three, the mind of Christ shapes what we dwell on. The mind of Christ reshapes what we dwell on. How many of you, did anybody hear my sermon on Easter? I think I was at Inlet Beach on Easter, so you might not have heard what I said. So this is, you did, you were there, okay. I'm going to repeat something, okay, bear with me. I love this illustration. You know, Oliver Wendell Holmes wrote this. He says that some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Okay? Some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. And that's been a really famous quote. He said it a long, long, long time ago, but he was wrong. The problem with that statement is this. You have to be heavenly minded so you can be earthly good. You need to be heavenly minded so you can be earthly good. When you have your eyes set on the things that are above, eternal spiritual things, it gives you an eternal perspective of everything here on earth. And when that happens, you're earthly good, and that means your faith impacts your life. And if your faith impacts your life, it impacts the lives of other people. Do you live knowing that one day you'll be in heaven? Do you live your life in light of eternity? Sometimes I think to myself, and when I die and I go to heaven, well, I look back at earth and go, what would I have done differently if I had a chance to live all over again? Remember the story about Lazarus and the rich man? And he says, oh, God, send Lazarus down there to warn my brothers not to come here. And God said, that's too late. It's too late. You should have did that while you're on earth. So sometimes I live my life in light of eternity, and sometimes I live my life like I'm in heaven looking back down at my life here and say, how much time did I waste on earth when I was down there? I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's really a good thing to live your life to the fullness in light of eternity. C.S. Lewis wrote this in his book, Mere Christianity. If you've never read Mere Christianity, it's a great book. I recommend it. C.S. Lewis wrote, if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were those who thought the most of the next. Are you living your life in light of eternity? Until we get there, St. Paul says, this is what we are to dwell on, Philippians 4:8. And if you ever have trouble sleeping at night, and you got those thoughts in your head, negative thoughts, bad thoughts, fearful thoughts, the problem is you're not dwelling on the right thing. This is what he says here. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Count your blessings at night. If you have trouble sleeping, make a list in your head. Start counting your blessings. Okay? Count your blessings. And what you focus on changes you. What you are what you eat. And it not only applies physically, but it applies to you spiritually. If you feed yourself with bitterness, outrage, and all the garbage of this world, and all those things start showing up in your thoughts, and you start feeding yourself that stuff. But if you feed yourself with gratitude, truth, love, and you begin to grow that way instead, you are what you eat. And that really, that applies to the books you read, the shows you watch on TV, the movies you go to, the people you surround yourself with, your beliefs, what you prioritize in your life. You are what you eat. So what are you feeding your soul lately? And how is your soul? Think of your mind like a garden. And my dad always said, don't plant your garden till after Easter because it will get cold. Trust me. And I would always, okay, yeah, Dad. Okay, so if you plant good seeds, good fruit grows. If you ignore it, the weeds take over. How many people plant weeds in their garden? You don't. They're there, though, aren't they? Thank you, Adam and Eve. Okay, that's where that came from. I go, how in the world does this work? You know, I didn't plant those. I didn't water those. And they just come up everywhere. You don't have to plant weeds. They grow automatically. Negative thinking is our default nature. That's what you default to is negative. Did you know that? That's our original sin thinking there. Godly thinking is intentional. Okay? You got to godly think intentionally. Start quoting scripture to yourself. Because you belong to Christ. Stop living like your old self. Focus your mind on what truly lasts. And that's the real life found in Jesus. This is more. God says, live who you are. Live who you are. You're a child of God. If you're a man, you're a prince. If you're a woman, you're a princess. Because Jesus is your king. You're part of the royal priesthood. Live who you are. And that means and our memory verse, this is what he's calling us to do, okay? You say this with me. It's from 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has understood the mind of the Lord as to instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. And what Paul is writing here, in 1 Corinthians is that no human being can fully understand the mind of God, okay? And we can't teach God anything, but we have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? That means this. Not that we can understand everything that Jesus understands, but we have Christ's attitude, okay? We have his humility, love, obedience. We have his teachings. Love your neighbor as you love your what? Yourself. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. We have God's word. Christ's values, his truth, his holiness, his mercy, our spiritual discernment, our understanding of our purpose that God has called us to in this world. We have wisdom beyond the world's thinking. And as a disciple of Christ, you begin to understand God's ways in the mind of Christ as you listen to him and his word and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the more, and there's more good news. Not only do you have the mind of Christ, look at A, you are hidden in Christ. And hidden means you're hidden in Christ means that you're sheltered in Christ. You understand that? You're sheltered in Christ. Just as something precious is kept safe, believers are spiritually kept in God's care. Doesn't mean your life's going to be easy, but it means this, that your soul is secure when tough times come. I don't know if you know this, but out in the Gulf, there are between, I Googled it yesterday, there are 40 storm buoys out in the Gulf of Mexico. 30 of them are active right now. And you can click on them. You can go to that NOAA website. You can go to the NOAA website, and they maintain these buoys. 30 of them are online right now. And you click on it, it'll tell you the wave height, tell you the temperature of the water, and it'll tell you the wind. And that's important because especially helpful during hurricane season. And we're one day closer to that, by the way. The amazing thing is that these buoys, they're anchored in the Gulf. And even though a hurricane blows through them, they stay there for the next hurricane. They do what they're there for. They collect all this data so that we can kind of track the storm and know how powerful the storm is so we can prepare. And they're doing their job. And living as a committed Christian is like being buoyed out in the Gulf of Mexico, anchored in the Gulf of Mexico. Waves come. You have problems. You have stress. You have fear. It could be family problems. It could be health problems. It could be emotional problems. It could be financial problems. It could be work problems. It could be friend problems. We got problems. Jesus said, in this world, you'll have trouble. That's what he said, but do not fear. I've overcome this world. And when the wind blows out in your life, and you'll have all kinds of storms in your life, if your mind is not anchored, what happens to your buoy? Either A, gets blown away somewhere out in South America and it doesn't do its job, or it blows inward and gets crashed up against the rocks and it doesn't do its job, what it was created to do. But when your mind is anchored in God, when your mind is anchored in God, you may feel the storm, but you're not going to be moved by it. Because your anchor is secure. His name is Jesus. And you're his disciple. And you have a committed mind. And because the storms in life will come, and because we're hidden in Christ, B, we now can stop striving in our own wisdom and live from God's Spirit. That means God is guiding us. And the Holy Spirit, like the wind, is blowing us in the direction we should go and giving us confidence, giving us security, giving us something solid to stand on. And when your mind is committed to Christ, when others quit, you can be faithful. When others panic, you have peace. When others turn their back, you keep going forward. A committed mind says, no matter what comes, I belong to Jesus. A committed mind says, I will trust God, even when I don't understand why things happen the way they do. I can't explain it. It was terrible what happened, but I trust God. His word tells me all things do work together for good. A committed mind says, I will stay faithful even when things are hard. I'm going to stay faithful. And when your mind is committed to Jesus, living as a disciple, your faith gets stronger. Your choices become wiser. Your purpose becomes clearer. And most importantly, your soul is at peace. So stay committed. Stay faithful. Stay focused. He's worth it. You pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have anchored us in your word. And Lord, that we will not be moved. It's not because we're holding on to you. It's because you're holding on to us, Lord Jesus. And as we go through the storms of life, Lord, we know that we need a committed faith in you. And Lord, so often we fail. But thank you for holding on to us. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for loving us, Lord. And I pray if there's anyone here this morning that's going through a trial or a storm, and remind them of your presence in their lives. Remind them that it's you, Lord, and your love and your commitment to us that will never fail, that keeps us anchored. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll bless and keep all our families that are represented here this morning. We pray for them and their faith and their soul. And as we go about our week, may we also be proclaimers of the good news of the gospel of Jesus, telling others how much you love them. We pray this in the name of our Savior Jesus, who has further taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ray. A great word this morning. Our worship continues with our receiving of our morning offering. So we're going to give you just a moment. In your bulletin, you have an envelope that you can place your offering in. Also, the envelope has instructions for giving online if you prefer. And in just a moment, we're going to invite you to come and bring your offerings to the plates here at the front. Before we do that, I want to call your attention to your connection card one more time. On the back of that card, you can find ways to communicate with the staff. We like to hear from you, and maybe there's an activity that you would like to attend. You can let us know that. You can also let us know of any next steps you'd like to take, baptism or receiving the daily devotions, anything like that, you can let us know. There are two opportunities coming up that you may want to take advantage of. One is Lighthouse Dinner. That is this Thursday night at 6 o'clock. It's a free dinner, and it's a night of information. Perhaps you'd like to know you can grow spiritually, or how can you serve the Lord. Whatever it is you'd like to know about going deeper in your relationship with Christ or with Hope on the Beach Church, we're going to have that info for you Thursday night at 6 o'clock. You can just check the box on the back of your card, Lighthouse Dinner, and we'll have you reserved for that dinner. Also, a week from Monday, our women are going to be joining together at the Marina Cafe for dinner. If you check that box, the right people will get in touch. And so those opportunities are there for you, as well as others. Ways that you can communicate with us. So I'm going to pray for our offering, and then we'll invite you to bring your connection card and your offering envelope to the plates here at the front. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word that we have heard, for your movement among our hearts, and for the new mind that you have given us So we thank you for the good news of this morning. And we pray that this offering be received in the love that it's intended as we give back to you as you have given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may come.
Have you stand, would you please? In a moment, we're going to receive the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.